All right.
I feel like I'd be interested to get your thoughts on this, but I feel like Halloween decorations tend to fall in a few different camps.
Okay.
Like the like silly cute ones, and then the ones that are trying to be scary.
Right.
Sometimes the ones that are trying to be scary definitely take it too far, where it's just, like, kind of obscene.
Yeah.
I feel like there's an unexplored avenue of subtlety wherein one can make a scary scene that's scary in the dark for trick-or-treaters without having it be so scary that you run the risk of them toppling backwards off your porch steps and cracking their head on your concrete walkway. You know?
Okay.
Episode 16, the Halloween episode, the horrible, non-erotic sweet spot of scary. In this episode, your hosts Steve and Mal hurtle from point A to point B while exploring the makings of the macabre. Whether it involves rug burns or full burns, when the haunting happens, are you happy or harried, or a bit of both? Listeners, please be advised there are occasional cuss words in these episodes, so now you know.
Like, there are things that can be scary without being, like, gory or, like...
Really disturbing.
Jump scare-y, yeah. Because I find, like, when I was little, the things that were, like, scary were the ones that would move when you got near them. So you'd, like, reach for the candy bowl, and the little hand in the candy bowl would, like, come down on top of your hand. And that that could, like, ruin my night.
Yeah, I can understand that. As we pass a yard full of skeletons.
Yeah, that are arranged like an Italian bistro around some tables with wine.
And yet, somehow, I didn't find that too scary.
No, I thought that was kind of, like, cutesy.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was scary.
It was like skeleton theater.
Yeah. I do think it is scary and not over the top, but, like, maybe psychologically scary to have a person or, like, a dressed-up dummy or whatever that looks realistic, like, very, very covered up. Like, it's a person trying not to look like a person, trying to look like a dummy, like, wearing gloves and whatever, sitting very, very still, or, you know, or it's a dummy, and so, of course it is, with the candy bowl on their lap, and then nothing happens. Like, they don't jump out at you. I think there's something scary about that, too, because you're kind of braced for it.
Right.
But you're not, like, you're not getting jump scared.
Right.
I think also...
And then you could be waiting for something, and, like, how long do you wait? Like, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, the suspense.
And also, like, if it is a person, having, like, them not move, and eventually you can see that it is, in fact, a person, that's pretty freaky.
Right. And, like, know? If you thought it might be a dummy, and then you realize it's a real person.
Yeah.
So there's a theme here, which is surprising shifts of either action or, you know, like, what's going on that you didn't expect.
Yeah.
I feel like we've started to go down, like, a little rabbit hole of, like, what is scary? What scares you?
Well, I've been to haunted houses, and it's funny how many haunted houses will have, like, scary clowns. Like, their actors will be dressed as scary clowns. And a lot of my friends / social circle are clowns, or at some point have been clowns.
Right.
And so...
Have you ever been?
Yeah. So at a certain point, there are moments where I am not scared by the clowns in the house. I just sort of nervously smile at them when they're running at me and screaming in my face.
Right.
Because I'm just like, friend, hi. I sometimes legitimately at haunted houses, because I don't know how to act like a person, someone will come up and scream in my face, and I'll just kind of smile meekly at them and say, hi. And occasionally I'll get a hi back. Not breaking character. They'll try and be creepy about it. But sometimes every once in a while I'll get like a cute hi back. They'll be like, hi, like, you know. Which might be unnerving to some people, but to me it's just like, friend. Not that I don't get scared by haunted houses, because I do, but the rooms that scare me are the ones where you're like, nothing is happening when you walk in, and so you're like, where is it gonna come from?
Right.
Well, oftentimes sudden loud noises will like make me jump. That's why they're called jump scares.
Okay.
But when watching horror movies and whatever, those things can get to me, but it's like, that's not the thing that I really find scary. You just get a reaction, you know?
So I've been very restrained, and I've waited, you know, this long just to bring up, the thing I'm known for, according to IMDb.
Yes.
Let's just mention that.
Should we say it at the same time?
Yeah. Amityville 3D. Exactly. So I've actually worked on a horror movie, and I just bring that up because I don't think of it as like a really, I don't know, I don't like horror movies for the most part, but I don't think of it as a successful one. I thought it was a little bit shit.
Mm-hmm.
No offense, colleagues who worked on that. Have you ever seen it?
No, I have not.
Okay, all right, yeah. I mean, there's nothing I've ever said that would encourage you to.
No. I was a haunted house actor for a day in college.
Did I know this?
It was just one time.
Okay.
One of my friends was like, we're looking for people to do this, and I was like, yeah, why not? And so they did, like, special effects makeup on me, like, latex and stuff. It looked pretty good. And they had, like, a little theme, and there's, like, a psych building right in the middle of campus. And that was the haunted house building that they
Perfect.
Set up. And so, and it's just, like, classrooms. It's not, like, a mental institution or anything. But it was supposed to be, like, some kind of, like, you know, mental institution thing, like so many haunted houses are. And there was like a guide, like a student leading a group of students through the haunted house to the various rooms and whatever, like a tour guide.
Nice.
And we were supposed to be ghosts.
And so what were you dressed up as, or what was your character?
They basically told us to wear light-colored clothing.
So you could be a ghost?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, ghostly. And they painted my face white, whatever. And I was stationed at the top of this staircase, and the hallway had these glass partitions in it, like with doors in the glass partitions. So I would be crouched behind that first glass partition. So I'd see people's heads appearing as they came up the stairs. And I would wait until people were, like, a little bit up the stairs. Then I would slam my hands on the glass to scare them. Yeah, you're familiar with this.
Yeah, you did that to me once.
I did it to you twice.
At the same college.
Yeah, once at the same college, yes.
Wait, what was the other time?
In the sunroom. As I was leaving the house.
Oh, okay.
And you told me not to do that anymore. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
But, yeah, I would slam my hands against the glass and scare people as they were coming up the stairs. And then I would, like, as they came into the hallway and the tour guide was, like, giving them the spiel, I would, like, there was a little wooden slat, like a rail kind of thing, set not into the glass, but it was part of the glass partition. So I would hold onto that and bend my body completely in half backwards so that my head was basically touching the floor while I was standing. I'd like, you know, stand up and do a complete back bend, and be like moaning and gurgling and like breathing in a really upsetting way. And then I would like flop down on the floor and like scratch my nails along the carpet and like crawl towards the group. People did not like it, but I also committed hard to this. We were at it for hours also, and so I was fully covered, like my I was wearing a sweater and like a skirt, maybe also tights, but you know, I was covered in rug burn all over my body by the end of that.
Well, listeners, if you don't know by now, Mal is a figure of fun.
Yes, I'm great to have at parties.
Oh my god.
And I don't bite even a little bit.
Well, it sounds like your experience of participating in horror-like stuff was a lot better than mine.
Well, I got to be an actor.
I mean, there's a very slight overlap in our horror experiences on Amityville 3D. Well, I PA'd on that. At one point, the script or whatever called for the front door of the house to be opened by one of the characters going in.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was supposed to sort of stay open in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was positioned lying on the floor, like in a closet behind the door. And I was to grab the edge of the door with my fingertips,
mm-hmm,
out of camera range,
yeah,
to hold it open. So, I mean, I wasn't as thematically involved as you were with your putting your hands on the door as a ghost.
Yeah.
But it was horror and it was door related.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
So horror. But, you know, the thing I was aware of, and I guess people are in general, about the film business and show business, well, film in particular, is that horror is a perennial, or at least used to be, probably always will be, a perennial moneymaker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it may not be a guaranteed blockbuster at the box office, but there's always, like, a market for an audience for horror.
Even bad horror. People like bad horror.
Well, but, I mean, with horror, the standards are pretty low. It's like, as long as it meets, like, whatever the minimum standard is, which I think probably Amityville 3D succeeded in meeting, people are going to see it. For whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they want to be scared. I guess there's always going to be people for the haunted house.
Yeah.
Probably for the same reason.
I think it's an adrenaline rush. It's like being allowed to be scared, be silly and scream in like a safe environment.
Right. Be scared in a way that you are not... I mean, you're trusting that you're not really going to be harmed.
Yeah. And I think that's what horror filmmakers have to contend with, which is, like, at the end of the day, all you have to scare somebody with is pictures and sounds on a screen, and you can't do anything to them. And so you have to get people to forget that you can't do anything to them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the overlap between the horror movie and or other movies where in it accidentally people actually are harmed in the making of the movie.
God, yeah.
There's the Twilight Zone movie where a guy, an actor well before your time, Vic Morrow, and two Vietnamese kids in a scene were decapitated because the special effects guys who were in charge of lighting off some explosives. The explosive charges were too near a helicopter that was like part of the scene, and the blast from the, you know, sort of set up explosions, the concussion broke a blade which came down and decapitated this well-known actor and two kids. Bad planning.
Yeah, that's pretty upsetting too. Like, accidental decapitation sounds like pretty traumatic.
Yeah. John Landis was the director. I never liked his work, but after that I was definitely a non-fan.
Yeah.
And blamed him. He escaped liability somehow. I worked on, I probably mentioned this, like maybe three or so feature films. And on at least two of them, there were accidents just due to bad planning. One where we hanged a guy and the hanging rig was not really set up right.
Yeah, you tell me about that.
Yeah, there was that. He didn't actually die, but he did suffer some internal injuries and had to be taken to the hospital. And that movie was The Forbidden Zone, later released as
I Spit on Your Grave,
which I'm not known for, just as well. I think Amityville 3D is a definite upgrade from that.
Yeah. In terms of quality, or?
Yeah. In my opinion.
I Spit on Your Grave is like a rape revenge movie.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So not horror.
No.
Yeah, so that, and then on Firestarter, we, the crew, not me personally, special effects guys, blew up a model of a house, lacing it with primer cord, which is an explosive sort of stringy type thing, but you can control it. But the plywood of the house sort of blew out and knocked out a stuntman who was standing in a guard uniform in front of it during a shot, and probably gave him a concussion. On the other hand, you might say, well, that's what they get the big bucks for. But still, nothing on the level of The Twilight Zone.
I will say, if you get a concussion, like, okay, brain damage, bad. But being able to be like, I got a concussion at my job because they blew up a house right next to me and I was caught in the blast, it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess.
There are much lamer ways to get concussions.
I think they prefer not to get the concussion, you know, so the bragging doesn't have to be. I did hang out with the stunt people on that film a little bit. A little bit. And I remember one time, I mean, so, you know, another thing they had to do was, I mean, it's called Firestarter, so there was a lot of fire.
Yeah.
And at one point, a guy had to do what's called a full burn. Are you familiar with this? What a full burn is? In stunts?
Or just, like, burn something and film it literally until it burns out?
No. It's, you film a person burning.
Oh.
So the stunt person, ideally it's a stunt person, is dressed in an asbestos-type suit. And maybe then slathered with, like, rubber cement, something flammable. And then, you know, the stunt coordinator or whoever, when it's all ready and the cameras are in position, because you don't want to waste this, will say, the cue will be, light them up. And then they'll take like a lighter or whatever and like, foosh, the guy goes up in flames. And then he's supposed to like move his arms and stuff to get the flame going. And then he'll run around as if he's a person on fire. I mean, it's not just asbestos suit, but then they put on, you know, like clothes and a sort of face-like mask to make it look like it's the person, not just a guy in an asbestos suit.
Yeah.
and then they'll run around, and then, you know, at some point, I guess they'll say something along the lines of put them out, and then, you know, fire extinguishers at the ready, they'll just, like, put the guy out. And the hazard there, or a hazard, maybe the biggest hazard is, like, something goes wrong and you get burned to death, but that more realistically, if they, you know, and they put, like, insulating sort of material, maybe it's not asbestos or whatever, but like cloth, maybe it's wet down beneath the stuff that's going to be on fire so that you know, your skin doesn't get burned. But one thing that can happen is what they call, you get a hot spot. So like fire happening, you know, pretty close to your body, and your skin can heat up the skin so that it's, you sweat, and if things aren't like arranged correctly, the heat starts to boil the sweat, and so you get burned by your sweat. Ideally not by the flame, but still that could be injurious. And so you can end up apparently as a stunt person with, you know, one or perhaps more than one hot spots. And that's, you know, presumably why there's probably an upcharge for doing a full burn. How this relates to anything we were talking about, I'm not sure. But, I mean, it's sort of, so there's this weird, like, relationship of reality to, like, the fictional horror or whatever. Yeah. So that, I make of all that what you will. I think in what remains of this drive, if we were able to somehow hit any deeper note about horror, accidents, why people go see horror movies, you'd think you're going to enjoy it, basically.
I think a lot of people do enjoy it. Also,
yeah, I think they do.
Getting scared.
They do, yeah, yeah. The only horror movie I've ever liked, I've not seen many of them, was The Shining. It was done well, and I kind of had nightmares, but they were, you know, they were well made. When I saw The Shining, I saw it with the late, great, my wonderful friend, Rich Rath. And at some key, scary moment, he like, grabbed me.
Yeah.
He was so scared, he yelped and he, like, reached over and, like, practically, like, the person practically jumped into my lap. I guess I wasn't as scared, and I was scared, but I was also, in that moment, amused and glad to be available for the hug.
That's cute.
Yeah, it is.
Did you ever tell him, recount this to him?
I mean, I'm sure he remembered it. I don't think I needed to. We both knew that happened.
Yeah.
As I'm trying not to have this be an accident that there's nothing I can do about. Oh, that almost seemed friendly.
Yeah, maybe it was.
Wow. See, all right, so all of this, I think, relates to the horror as the opposite vibe. Like, we can be nice.
Yeah.
I mean, not that people who love to watch horror movies are inherently non-nice.
No.
They could be perfectly wonderful, warm and fuzzy
normal
people.
They could be normal for all we know.
They could even be nice.
There's a fine line there for me, because there are some things that I really enjoy that I know I can't watch, like, except very, very rarely, because I know they put me in a bad headspace. They, like, fuck with my head. But then there, like, there's a list of 20 or 30 movies that would be in my top 20 or 30 movies that, according to Phoenix, are all pretty depressing. Like, even Inside Llewyn Davis.
Okay.
It's pretty grim. Like, you know, nothing
I've seen it
horrible happens in it.
I don't remember
it's
it
not
well.
Yeah. Gory, but it is depressing. It is like
it's not a feel-good movie.
No, it's like a guy ineffectually dealing with the grief of his best friend's, his like partner's suicide by like being a dick and pushing everyone away. That's kind of the movie, and it's like melancholy and whatever. Like, you know, nothing outright terrible happens in it, but but it is, that's basically the vibe of what I like. And there are some like things that sort of border on body horror, psychological, like thriller, whatever, that I really like, that also sort of fit into that genre. It's just, there's a sweet spot there that's like what I really, really love. Maybe that goes back to what I was saying about Halloween decorations, of there being a sweet spot between like horror and like cutesy, where you get into something that's, that psychologically affects you, but it doesn't make you run screaming from the room.
I'm so glad that you brought that up again, because I now have, if this is an episode, and it probably will be, the episode title.
Yeah.
That horrible sweet spot. Maybe.
It sounds a little pornographic.
Okay. I'll have to figure out how to make it. Definitely
we'll fix
not.
It in post.
The non-pornographic horrible sweet spot. There you go. Done. Problem solved.
It's going to get flagged. That,
maybe that's worse.
Spotify.
Yeah.
The non-erotic. Explicit tag.
Okay.
Even though it says right there in the title that it's non-erotic.
All right. There'll be a place up ahead.
Is
this right in front? Are we going to go for this right in front? It's a little tight to the motorcycles. How would it be? It would be very Pee Wee Herman-like if I were to knock them over right
in front of those owners.
Yeah.
Well, they can always get up and move their motorcycles like big boys if they want to.
I guess. I don't know. Am I going to do this? Is this going to work? How close are we?
I don't know.
I don't like it.
No?
No. Okay. I'm not going to chance it.
Well, let's not get hit by this other car over here.
I'm not going to get hit by any car. I'm just going to go up ahead of this. Oh, bother.
Look at this.
Yeah, tasteful.
Travesty of a car, yeah.
All right, this up ahead here.
Sure.
This looks good. Mm.
Yeah.
Bit of a trek.
Whatever. It'll be fine. All right, should we end the recording?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Sure. Okay. Your final words?
I mean, you're not about to drive home yet.
No.
I love you. Get home safe is not necessarily appropriate, but I love you, and thank you for driving me.
You're welcome. All right.
Okay. Bye.
High five.
Crisp high five.
Okay. And might we add cowabunga?
We might.
Go ahead. No? Okay. All right. Fine.
Want me to just say the makings of the macabre?
Yeah, project? Say it as many times as you like.
Okay. The makings of the macabre. The makings of the macabre. Should I be doing something different?
No.
The makings of the macabre.
Thank you.
Okay.